This is Digital Story Podcast number 606, October 24th, 2017. Today's theme is The Cloud's Silver Lining. I'm Derek Story. We learned last week that Lightroom becomes a cloud-based app with the end of the perpetual license. I was also part of a story where a cloud-based backup saved a photo library in the face of disaster. This week, we look at both the dark side and the silver lining of cloud-based photography. So as Adobe moves Lightroom into the cloud, and we all know about this news story that broke last week, there seems to be a fair amount of confusion still about the options available to photographers who want to use Lightroom. And part of this is Adobe seems to be, I guess we'll say, clarifying their story as time goes on about this. But the bottom line is Adobe believes that cloud computing is the future and that they are embracing it. And that is a fact, and that is the way that it's going to go. Now, to some degree, I agree. Part of the reason why I love Photos for macOS is because of its seamless connectivity with iCloud and the just announced Luminar Digital Asset Manager. It's going to be a module. We'll definitely have a cloud component as well. And in fact, I want to take a slight digression on the Luminar story. I knew about the Luminar Digital Asset Manager. It's been in the works for a while, but they were going to keep it under wraps until probably early 2018 in terms of talking about it. Their focus right now is releasing the Windows version of Luminar along with the update to Luminar for the Mac. And, you know, that's their big story right now, and we're going to see that pretty soon. And then the story that was going to follow, the progression that was going to follow for Luminar, was the Digital Asset Manager. However, when Adobe made their announcement about Lightroom, and a lot of people were concerned, and I think to some degree it's justified. I mean, there's some overreaction, and definitely the word indefinitely has become a much scrutinized word, because what Adobe said when Creative Cloud was first announced is that the perpetual license for Lightroom would be available indefinitely. And so everyone kind of took indefinitely as forever, when in fact, I think Adobe knew all along that indefinitely did not mean forever. It just meant for the time being. We don't know when it's going to end, but in our heart of hearts, we know it's going to end at some point. And that point is now, right? So there's been a bit of kerfuffle around all of that. But the fact of the matter is that technically speaking, indefinitely does not mean forever. It just means, to be determined. Here we are with all of that angst kind of around Lightroom for a lot of users. The folks at MacFun who make Luminar saw this as a perfect time to say, hey, by the way, we're working on a digital asset manager, and our digital asset manager will be beautiful and powerful and very easy to use. And it will be part of Luminar in the sense that you buy Luminar, you get the digital asset manager. And in fact, I believe they said that the folks that purchased the next version of Luminar that has the Windows version also, they'll get the asset manager at no extra cost when that version is released. So that's kind of fun also. So what Luminar is trying to present is a true alternative to the Lightroom situation. No subscription, at least I haven't heard of any plans for any sort of subscription-based software. So you make a one-time purchase, and it's a reasonable cost, usually around $69. And you get Luminar, and you get the Digital Asset Manager. And it'll be more like the perpetual license situation. Then when there's an update, there'll be some sort of upgrade fee associated with it. And you can choose to participate or not participate, depending on if you have new cameras or, you know, whatever is going on, if you want the new features. So they want to present something that is a direct contrast to what Adobe is doing. But the thing that I thought was very interesting about what MacFun said about the digital asset for Luminar, the digital asset manager, is that it will have a cloud component, not so much that it's going to be a cloud-based app, but that you will be able to use the cloud to manage your photos. So of course, you know, right away, I'm thinking, well, what will that be? I doubt that they're going to do their own thing. So it will probably connect to iCloud for sure on the Mac side. It may connect to something like Dropbox. It may even connect to Creative Cloud. Who knows exactly what they have planned, but what we do know is that there will be a cloud component to it, and that is very, very good news. I'm really crossing my fingers for the Mac version that iCloud is part of the scenario, because then, you know, that just makes my photos management all the easier, all the more powerful. You know, having a Luminar digital asset manager that has some new things that I don't have in Photos, and Photos continues to evolve and be quite good. I've just finished recording my Photos for macOS High Sierra title for lynda.com/LinkedIn Learning, and I'm working on updating the book, the second edition of the book right now. And I can tell you that, you know, Photos is making some nice strides also. So this could be a very good scenario for a lot of us and a very powerful scenario. And I thought it was interesting that MacFun went ahead and just said, hey, we're gonna tip our hand right now. And I think what they're thinking is that some folks, a percentage of Lightroom users, will be looking around, and maybe they want them to hold off until they see what the digital asset manager looks like for Luminar. So that whole cloud-related sidebar there, I think, is a very interesting one. It's one that I'm very excited about, and I can't wait to learn more about it myself. Now let's come back to our main topic, which is, you know, the dark side and silver lining of cloud computing in general. By the same token that we're talking about all of this, one of the things that I consider a shortcoming of Capture One Pro is its lack of cloud connectivity. And I've talked about my workflow many times, and that Capture One Pro is very important to me because that's where all my professional work is. But part of the reason why it's relegated to that area of my life is because of its lack of connectivity. It doesn't connect to iCloud. I can't have it on my mobile device. There isn't a mobile version of Capture One Pro where I can, you know, scan a particular catalog. It just hasn't played ball in that area at all. And it's interesting to me that as each year goes by where Capture One Pro isn't part of the cloud, it really starts to stand out, you know, as like, okay, what is your plan here? I mean, are you forever going to be, you know, a hard disk based application? And are my catalogs, my Capture One Pro catalogs, forever going to be landlocked on hard drives? I anticipate in my mind that before too long, they are going to make some sort of move toward the cloud. I just think they have to. Where are we right now? The challenge, as I see it, is how do you manage the balance between your photo files stored locally on drives and online? You know, where is that sweet spot? Apple and Adobe are doing a good job in this regard by providing us plenty of options to create workflows that suit our needs. And like I said, I know that some folks, the perpetual license folks, are a little upset with Adobe right now. But in the end, I think what they're trying to do is going the right direction. We'll see. We'll see how well they take care of the folks that really love the desktop version of the app. They say they're going to take care of them. And so until shown otherwise, I tend to believe that their intent is good here. We'll see how it all works out. As long as they don't use the word indefinitely, I think we're okay, right? I think our challenge right now as photographers is how do we deal with this moving target? Because I don't think it's something that we can completely ignore or want to. In other words, it feels like every year we sort of have to reevaluate the balance that we maintain between what lives on our computers and what lives in the cloud and what lives on both. And it requires a little bit of focus. It requires a little bit of effort. And for that reason, sometimes we don't want to do it because we're busy doing other things. And wasn't it nice when you could only do it one way and you didn't have to worry about all the other options? But we're not there anymore. I mean, we've moved way beyond that. And I think one of the complaints that people have about cloud computing, as it's presented to us these days, is that it also comes with a subscription or some sort of ongoing fee that we have to maintain. We have to rent our storage, so to speak. Now, I know Google, with their new smartphone, is providing unlimited storage, and that's probably indefinitely also, to tell you the truth. But so there are some really strong options out there that don't cost you any money. But for the most part, we have to pay, you know, some rental fee for this online space, of which I'm not really that concerned about. I don't mind paying for cloud storage if I feel like it's a good value. And so that sort of leads me to the silver lining of all of this, which is that cloud storage, because it isn't physical, because it isn't in our immediate location, does have some advantages, especially when things go wrong, especially when big things go wrong. And I have one such story right now to share with you. I mentioned last week that my brother-in-law, Pat, lost his house in the firestorm, Santa Rosa. And we were talking about his computer that was vaporized. We were talking about next steps. And a really nice story came out of this. So I asked Pat to come onto the show and talk to us. And the title of this segment with Pat is called iCloud and the Forever Lost Computer. So we'll chat with Pat for a little bit, and then I'll come back and we'll get on to the next topic. So I'm sitting here with my brother-in-law and probably my best friend in Sonoma County, Pat Sheets. And Pat, as you know, if you listened to last week's show, he and his wife lost their place up in Fountain Grove during the firestorm. And it was interesting, you know, there's all these things that you have to go through, you know, when you're dealing with something like this, because it's everything, right?
Absolutely. Literally everything.
Literally everything. You and the cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what got out. And of course, so one of the things that you lost was your computer. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about, because you had just worked on your computer, and iCloud was just sort of mentioned in passing, right, as you were doing this.
Yes, that's what I learned, or I was confirmed by Apple's Genius Bar as I was getting the computer diagnosed for lethargic behavior. And so they said, yeah, oh, this is great. Yeah, you've got iCloud activated here. And it's something I'd always paid attention to, or actually I shouldn't pay attention to, but like I said, was aware of during the setup configuration. Do you want to use iCloud? And I say, yeah, I do. So with not really having any absolute awareness of how effective or what its function was going to be, I was thinking about like music and photos and, you know, just the incidental things that I actually pay attention to on a daily basis, but not really paying attention to the fact that it was actually creating an exact copy, almost, a literal exact copy of all the data, files used by TurboTax, PDFs that I had generated, and the things, like I said, I only handle like maybe on once a year basis or, you know, every few months.
But, you know. Yeah, so you had basically just like checked the box, so to speak, on iCloud and said, why not, right?
It wasn't
what the heck?
Exactly. Yeah, well, just like thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then I'll take and then one thing that I was kind of sensitive to, because I had a growing photo library and music library, and I was concerned about, do I have enough space? So okay, yeah, you know, I'll pitch in a few bucks to increase the capacity of the iCloud. I don't want any, anything left out. You know, I think really what I was thinking, do I really want to go through and selectively pick things? I say, is that more important than that?
So, yeah.
You know, for a few bucks, it's worth the state of mind, or peace of mind, I should say, that I don't have to manage it manually. It's just like, it's all happening in the background.
Yeah, and it's like, what, $2.99 a month? Is that what you're doing?
I believe that's what it is.
Yeah. I think that's what I have. Yeah. And I do a boatload of pictures on photos and everything.
So, like I said, didn't even look at it. I don't know what it was doing for me.
All right, so you had that there. You weren't really, it was there. You weren't really thinking about it. One of the sad things that we've joked a little bit about this was you had this 2011 MacBook Pro that was getting kind of doggy. Mm-hmm. You ordered an SSD for it. And I brought the tools over and, the Genius Bar helped you with the whole thing. And you just had this baby set up and it was purring, right?
It was screaming. I don't even remember running so quickly.
Yeah.
When it was new. It was an old computer. And like I said, just the whole, kind of a tangent to that, just the whole exercise of using the talent at the Genius Bar to diagnose, suggest, and gave me the confidence that I could literally do this all on my own. Just bring it back after you've swapped out the hard drive and with the SSD, they queued up the restoration, and at that point, 5 minutes later, they said, "Okay, close it up, take it home, and finish the restore from there." So anyway, it was beautiful.
That was
a real positive feel good moment.
Yeah, we had lunch over at your place like right after you finished that project.
Yep.
Yeah, and you were telling me about it. And I was really.
Yeah.
That was such a good story. And then how many days was that before the fire? It was just a few days, wasn't it? Like the next week?
It was probably about a week's time.
Yeah. Yeah. So then your hot rod, your new hot rod, didn't make it through this thing.
Did not.
And so we were all kind of right after the fire. I thought it was kind of cool the way our family did this. We just sort of all kind of gathered, right? We just sort of found each other and said, let's eat.
Because you were in the same boat.
We were on the lam.
Yeah, well, and definitely, yes, out there.
Yeah, I think at that point, we had gone from our house to here and then the studio where we are, you and I are right now. We got kicked out of here and then we were up in Bennett Valley. Mm-hmm. That's where we were. So we all kind of got together and we were talking about, okay, what do you need? What do you need right now? And you needed some just like really basic things. Like you needed a way to charge your watch and, just like the stuff that you had on you, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as far as my electronics, the iWatch that we gave each other, or my wife and I gave each other for birthdays, back at the end of July. And then my phone, she didn't get hers, but that was it. That was my only means of getting the email and anything else.
I had an extra MacBook Air that had been used by my contractor that weren't using at the moment. So I said, okay, let's set that up, right?
Yeah.
And I warned you ahead of time. It's not the fastest computer in the world, but it does work. So we set up a user account for you, made you admin on it, and I cleared off a little hard disk space. Gave it over to you and said, let's see what we can do with, getting it set up for you.
That's right.
So you took it from there.
Yeah. So, we're staying at that time. We were staying at the in-law's place, my wife's parents, and I'd already connected to their Wi-Fi. Not the zippiest thing, but I said, I had connectivity too. And so, log in, as Derek said, had my new password, and at that point, like I said, the exact thing, because it was a setup process.
It was it took over a course of time, right?
But it was just okay. This is either a new computer or you're restoring, from a backup. Mm-hmm. And like I said, of course, the opportunity there was to pick the iCloud backup. It was not rocket science at that point. It was just a few questions, checkbox, start the process. Set it aside. Actually, I don't even think I even stepped away from that long. But
basically, is asking you if you wanted to restore from iCloud. I think, right?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. But yeah, so it did the restore from iCloud, and I want to say in 5 minutes, maybe less, after going through a series of reboots, and of course, I think there were a few updates that had to do. But like I said, I think after 30 minutes of the updates and the iCloud restoration process, and that final reboot, I was looking at my desktop. It had the same.
So it even restored folders. Your desktop?
It did, so the folders I had on,
mm-hmm.
and configuration, exact same spot as it was before. And I looked at the hard drive content organization, my documents, so forth, and there they all were, my TurboTax files and all my project files from folders.
Oh, my gosh.
And
stuff that you thought you had lost at this point.
I had no copy. Yeah, I mean, my background just sort of says, okay, I have redundant stuff for everything, including backups, the physical drives. And it's not a matter of if it's going to be lost or the hard drive's going to die. It's a matter of when it's going to die.
Yeah, so, you had a time machine, right?
Time machine working in the background. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it was just kind of a real emotional moment to see that, and feel good that I hadn't lost those important things.
I saw you later that day, midday. We got together for something. At this point, we were up at your cabin.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
All right. because we had gotten kicked out of Bennett Valley.
That's
too.
Right. Move, yeah. Second move.
So you let us go up to the cabin, the family cabin up there. And we saw you that morning. I think you guys helped us move in, I think.
We did.
Yeah. And you were so you told me the story. That's the first time I heard you say, it was actually a good morning.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, there's varying scales of feel good moments, and that was definitely probably a spike in the graph of positive direction. Derek's help is just the ability to loan me something like that. It was a simple thing to do. It just happened, the opportunity to have a positive thing happen that was mine. Everything else that I've been getting to that was brand new from Target, new socks, underwear, T-shirts, hand-me-down stuff from my brother.
Right.
I'm wearing my escape outfit.
Aren't you?
This is it. This is what I wore when we drove out. But aside from this, that was my stuff too.
Yeah.
I saw it for the first time. It hadn't come from the ashes, but it was in ashes and came back from heaven.
It did, and so yes, physical backup is great. Time machine's wonderful, but there, in these extraordinary circumstances that, I thought if we're going to have to deal with anything in the next few years, it'd be earthquake.
Exactly.
I never thought about the fire thing.
Yeah, you'll dig your backup hard drive out of
the rubble or whatever. But none of us saw this coming.
No.
Yeah.
No. Like I said, having walked around the remnants of our house and seen how thorough, it was thoroughly incinerated, it was just a real eye-opener about what that sort of disaster is like now.
Yeah.
I started questioning Bill and Kitty. Do you guys do backup?
Exactly.
Are you doing? So we need to get this established on your computer. And it's just like, and now I've asked friends, are you doing iCloud? And
we're evangelists now, right? We're evangelists.
Absolutely. And I will, I'll make sure that it happens with everybody I know.
That's why I wanted you to come on the show, because I want everyone listening, just if you're not checking that box and you're using this OS, just check the box. Pay $2.99 a month.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheap. It's, you will never regret it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show. Great to see you.
Yeah.
And you got to go to work now, don't you?
Get to go to work. Let's see. Yep.
All right. Thanks so much, man.
The Digital Story Digital Photography Public Group on Flickr. I haven't talked about this for a while. Quite a while, and this is a public group that we have on Flickr, and this is all kind of under the umbrella of cloud computing, a very positive side of cloud computing for me, because we have this public group that has over 3,000 members and over 73,000 photos on this TDS Flickr public group. I have a link to it in the show notes if you haven't been over there. So this is a gallery that I peruse on a daily basis, and it's also the source for the TDS member photo of the day that we do on Facebook. And we also display shots from it in the member gallery on the TDS site. And I think this is a terrific thing. And the reason why I'm bringing it up today and haven't, I kind of wish I had done this earlier. You know how things are. You just like, it just is kind of going on its own and it's going fine. And so I don't talk about it, but I really need to talk about it because I think a lot of you that aren't hanging out at the public group who aren't looking at the photos are missing out on some really good photography. And the thing about it that's so neat is that it's photography done by our people, by our community. You know, all of these folks are part of our virtual camera club, and they are sharing 1, 2, 3 shots a week and putting them up for other people to see and comment on and like and all that good stuff. You'd be surprised at the variety of imagery that's there. The quality is very good. And some of it is really interesting also. And what I mean by interesting, I mean, you know, a little unique. We see different stuff. And we also see techniques that are executed very, very well. And a lot of times I like to highlight one of those shots as the member photo of the day on Facebook. And I just want to encourage you that if you have a Flickr account, go ahead and sign up for this public group so that you can view the photos and contribute. Add your stuff to it, too. And it's really neat when your shot gets picked as a member photo of the day. It feels really good because basically what I'm saying is that that was my favorite image of the day when I was perusing the galleries. So anyway, the group is in the show notes, and it's called, the official name is The Digital Story, Digital Photography Public Group on Flickr. So you can go on Flickr and search for that, or you can just go to the show notes and click on the link that says the Flickr public group there. But if you're not part of it, I encourage you to take a look. And if you are a part of it and have been contributing, thank you so much, because I have to tell you, I'm really enjoying your work, and I appreciate you sharing it with other members of our community. All right, I have a few updates for you, and kind of interesting this week. I mean, they're always interesting, but some weeks more interesting than others, right? And so we're starting our Wine Country workshop on Thursday this week here in Sonoma County. And I'll tell you, this has been something. This has been really something for me on so many levels. First of all, you know, this workshop obviously was planned a long time ago before we knew anything about the fires that were coming and all that kind of stuff. And so then when the firestorm came, it actually burned down a couple of the places that I planned on visiting. One of them, very near and dear to my heart, which is Paradise Ridge Winery in Santa Rosa. Just a lovely place. It was somewhere that I was really looking forward to taking our group to, and it got caught in the firestorm, and it's gone. It's gone, gone. While we were dealing with everything else that we're dealing in terms of evacuation and trying to communicate to folks and all that, I was thinking, well, what am I going to do about the workshop that's coming up? And I thought about it, and I decided that we're going to move forward with the workshop for a number of reasons. One of them is that not all of Sonoma County burned. There's still a whole lot of it in very beautiful shape. And so I would have places to go to, no problem. And so I said, okay, that's definitely a plus. Second of all, I think right now, Sonoma County, the attitude here in Sonoma County is that we're going to move forward. We're going to rebuild, and we're going to, you know, restore as much quality as we can to the areas that were affected, and we're going to take care of our people. And part of that taking care of people is keeping our people here, and then also continuing to attract people to the area and bringing in tourism dollars and, you know, just really focusing on the positive things that we have to offer right now. And I feel that way myself. So we had some communication with the folks that were signed up for the workshop, and there were concerns, and they were very legitimate concerns about, is it appropriate for us to come up and have fun after such a devastating event? What will the air quality be like? You know, what will we be driving through? Will we be seeing all this devastation? You know, you know, all these sort of concerns. And they were all very good concerns. And, you know, the air quality right now, I just got a report today. The air quality is going to be healthy, and the weather is going to be nice and warm. And I have new wineries that I scheduled events with, and they were so happy to hear from me and so happy that we're bringing a group and so happy to have our business. And, you know, they're probably going to take extra special care of us. So we're moving forward with this workshop, and I'm really excited about it. And for me, in all honesty, having this workshop and spending time with some of my fellow photographers and their travel partners is part of, you know, my road to getting back to a normal life here. And so I'm really thankful for the folks that are, you know, going to stay the course and come up and join us and have a good time, take some good pictures, drink some good wine, eat some good food. Along those lines, I want to give a shout out to Scott Davenport Photography, and he is a photographer based out of San Diego. Scott's actually attended one of our workshops. He came up here in the spring and went on the North Coast road trip with us, and a terrific photographer, terrific guy, has a very good photography business down in San Diego. His website is scottdavenportphoto.com, scottdavenportphoto.com. And I want to give him a shout out because he basically said, you know, what can I do to help? And he has become a sponsor of our fall workshop. So he is helping to pour some of the money, some of that tourism money into Sonoma County. And I just really appreciate him doing that, and it's going to make our workshop better. It's going to help the local businesses, and it's very generous. So thanks a lot to Scott for supporting not only our virtual camera club and the things that we're trying to do, but all of Sonoma County, and that's Scott Davenport Photo. Speaking of support, I want to mention that we also gained some new Patreon members. Boy, great to see some new faces. Thank you so much for being a part of our inner circle and for supporting the efforts that we do here. Our Patreon members are the backbone of of this podcast, along with Red River Paper, because you know they are here for us every month, and we don't get server bills, you know, just every now and then. We get server bills every month. You know, all the bills come every month, and our Patreon members in Red River Paper is there for us every month. So big thanks to you guys and gals for you know, staying the course with us. We really appreciate it. All of us appreciate it. And then speaking of Red River Paper, you know, I heard from them right away after all this stuff started going down here in Santa Rosa, and checking on me, making sure I'm okay, and being truly concerned about the situation. And, you know, again, this is the kind of folks that we're dealing with. These are the folks that are part of our community. These are the folks that support our show. They're people that care about people. They're people that are good at business and help, you know, foster good business practices. And Red River Paper just totally falls into that category. And that's why I use their paper, and that's why I'm such a proud supporter of everything that they're doing, and in turn, they support us. So they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And again, solid, standing by us, you know, through the ups and downs of everything we're trying to do to keep this show, you know, alive and growing and vibrant and useful and hopefully entertaining. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm going to get back to catching up, and I'm going to get ready for this workshop that's coming up on Thursday. I'm very excited about it. Those of you listening that are coming up here to join me, can't wait to see you. We're going to have a blast. Until next week, have a good week. Have a terrific week. think about your cloud workflow and, you know, revisit the situation. Make sure that you're protected, that your work is protected, and make sure that you're, you know, using the latest tools that can help you enjoy your photos in as many ways possible. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.